The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, not too bad. Thank you, Howard. After what's been a fairly eventful weekend in the Holy Land, not only the fact that the weather cleared up for the Jerusalem Marathon on Friday.
That was incredible.
You got the pictures of people with
Absolutely.
The South African flag as you requested.
I did. Many pictures. And thank you everybody for sending those. It was really incredible to see. And you know how many people have asked me, Anthony, and I don't know if you know the answer. Did the guy from Syria actually run in the end?
So I don't know the answer to that, and I actually haven't seen any reports about it. I mean, we know that the guy was obviously not based in Syria. He's a professional athlete who runs out of Europe, and he's also based for part of the time in the United Arab Emirates. But I don't know whether the guy from Syria ran, but I think what I'm going to try and do to answer the question is have a look through the results of the marathon to see if I can find him, and I will come back to you with an answer as best as I can.
Great. And let's just talk about some of the things that happened over the weekend. It's been a weekend of rocket attacks, terror attacks, and IDF reprisals. Very, very difficult weekend in Israel with regard to terror attacks. Tell us about the main events in the last few days.
I mean, really what caught everybody really by surprise late on Thursday evening was the fact that sirens were blaring in Tel Aviv, warning of incoming rockets towards the Tel Aviv area. This is the first time since Operation Protective Edge took place already a number of years ago that rocket sirens were sounded in Tel Aviv. Signs of people running to bomb shelters. The Tel Aviv municipality seemed to have been caught unawares and announced a little later in the evening that they were opening up the public bomb shelters. This was something which kind of came out of the blue. Two missiles were fired towards the Tel Aviv area. Fortunately, neither of them landed, doing any damage, causing any injury. So that was something of a lucky escape. It seems as if, though, at least one of the missiles fell in open area. It's not quite sure. It's not absolutely sure whether the Iron Dome was deployed and shot down one of the missiles. There were at least some reports that Iron Dome had been deployed, that one of the missiles had been taken out by Iron Dome. That report I haven't been able to confirm. There are lots of conflicting reports about whether that is true or not. And then, of course, the rumor mill went into action to try to work out why these missiles were fired. Lots of reports about a mistake being made by the factions in Gaza. Were these missiles being fired by Hamas themselves? Were they being fired by renegade groups and factions within the Gaza Strip against Hamas's orders? All of that really wasn't made very clear. And then, of course, all of these reports and speculations about an error that was made, that the missiles weren't really meant to have been fired towards Tel Aviv, or perhaps not at all. But the fact of the matter is, two Fajr missiles were fired towards Tel Aviv. Each one of them could have done immense damage, caused injury, death, and lots of chaos within the Tel Aviv city area on Thursday night when people like to go out for their weekend. So this was really something of major concern. Behind the scenes, we understood that the delegation from Egypt was actually in Gaza when these missiles were fired. Mm. And if we believe the reports that were written after that, we understand that the Egyptian delegation simply turned to the Gaza leadership and said, if this is what you guys are going to do, then you are on your own. We are getting up. They got up and they left and they went back to Egypt immediately without concluding whatever it was that they were going to conclude. They effectively said, we are now leaving you guys to whatever happens next, whatever reprisals Israel carries out, because this that you've done right now, this action is simply not okay. And even the Egyptians were apparently very, very furious over that particular incident. But be that as it may, whatever happened at the moment happened. We understand that the Gaza leadership took cover in their underground bunkers. The Israeli IDF carried out reprisal raids across Gaza overnight on Thursday. Over 100 targets in Gaza were hit. A lot of criticism of Prime Minister Netanyahu in the wake of that those reprisal raids, people feeling that not enough was done. If missiles are being fired towards Tel Aviv, that the Israeli response should be more serious than that. Clearly, both parties are trying to avoid going into an all-out war. But that was the kind of summary of the events that took place on Thursday evening and into Friday morning. Then, of course, we had this very, very tragic terror attack that took place early in the morning yesterday, Sunday morning, when a terrorist attacked an IDF soldier, stabbing him at the Ariel Junction. He then managed to get the weapon that the soldier was carrying. He shot the soldier with that weapon, killing him at the place, at the Ariel Junction right there. He then shot at passing cars. A rabbi, a well-known rabbi, father of 12 children, was hit by the bullet fire that was just randomly directed towards passing cars. The terrorist then apparently got into a car, managed to steal a car from somebody, drove elsewhere, and he then also shot somebody else at this second location with that same weapon that he had managed to steal from the IDF soldier. That terrorist, we understand, still remains at large, even though his father and his brother and other members of his family have been apprehended, and the IDF know exactly who he is. Interestingly, Hamas TV have come out saying, do whatever you can in order to hide this person from the IDF. This is an official report on Hamas TV. No shame at all. Of course, sweets being dished out within the Gaza Strip in Iran and other places in order to celebrate both the rocket fire on Thursday night as well as the terror attack that took place yesterday. And of course, in the meantime, the IDF and the government trying to work out what the most appropriate response is going to be to the killing of the soldier yesterday, the youngest of three children born from a family of people who made Aliyah from the former Soviet Union in the 1970s. He was buried at the military cemetery in Beersheba yesterday. Gal Kaidan was promoted to the rank of staff sergeant posthumously after he was killed. A very, very sad and very, very unfortunate set of circumstances that we had to wake up to yesterday morning.
Terrible, terrible indeed. Another strange event yesterday, and that is the High Court of Justice yesterday ruled on the eligibility of certain candidates and parties ahead of the upcoming election. Anthony, if you can just give us an update on what the court decided, and then we can obviously just contemplate this a little further.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing for me was that the Supreme Court actually overruled three decisions that were made by the Central Elections Committee. So in all three cases, the points that were put before the court in order to ask the court to rule upon, the court decided against what the Central Election Committee had originally decided. And the three cases that were put before the court were the following. First of all, the issue of Dr. Michael Ben-Ari, who is running for the Otzma Yehudit party. Now, we've spoken about them. They are effectively the Kahanist party, the very, very far right-wing party that has caused a lot of consternation within the press and particularly outside of Israel, people feeling that they shouldn't necessarily be allowed to run. On this particular occasion, the party itself wasn't brought before the court, but rather one of its candidates. The Central Election Committee had originally decided that Dr. Ben-Ari could participate in the election next month. The court decided otherwise, and he has now officially been banned from running on the list of the Otzma Yehudit party, and he will not be a candidate for the Knesset going forward. So that was the first decision. The second decision that was made was to overturn the decision by the Central Election Committee to bar the Balad and United Arab List parties. These are the two Arab parties which are considered to, which are running on a joint ticket, and they're considered to be supporting terrorism and anti-Zionist and really opposing everything that is the State of Israel. And yet these two parties are running with candidates to be members of Knesset, and the Central Election Committee had decided that they should not be allowed to run. The High Court, the Supreme Court yesterday decided otherwise. And those two parties are now officially candidates for the election, and they will be allowed to run. And indeed, if they manage to exceed the 3.5% that's required as the election threshold for the number of votes that that they receive, they will have members in the next Knesset. The third decision that was made by the court relates to an individual who is a member of one of the Arab parties, a Jewish man who is a Hebrew University lecturer, and he is by the name of Ofer Kasif. He is the sole Jewish candidate on the joint list of the Hadash, the Arab Hadash party, and he had the Central Election Committee had originally decided to ban him from running on that list for Knesset. The court found otherwise, and he will be allowed to run on that Arab list. So those were really the three interesting decisions that were made yesterday by the Supreme Court with regard to the upcoming election.
Is this the first time that the High Court has got involved in these types of decisions, or is this a fairly common occurrence?
The court has been asked to rule on these things before. I can't quite remember the nature of the decisions that have been made before. But Israel is a very, very litigious society. And, you know, every little small incident seems to somehow land up in the courts. Usually these matters are referred in the first instance, of course, to the Central Election Committee. But people do have the right to take an appeal to the Supreme Court if they feel that the Election Committee has not ruled in a fair way. And interestingly, in all three cases, these appeals were successful and the decision of the Central Election Committee was actually overturned.
It's very interesting, and I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. What do you feel about both far left and far right? I guess that would be the only way to put it. How do you feel about them being curtailed from and removed from the democratic process?
Yeah, I think for me that, you know, this is really democracy in action, you know, that on the one hand, the Central Election Committee does have the authority to make rulings, but that's not the final word on it. And in this particular case, the Supreme Court's ruling has been potentially, you know, counterintuitive for many people, with the Arab anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, terror-promoting parties being allowed somehow to still run in the election. Perhaps the banning of Dr. Michal Ben-Ari, I don't know, perhaps people from, especially from outside of Israel, would be happy to see that, even though there are a lot of people who might turn around and say that the party itself, the Otzma Yehudit party in general, shouldn't be allowed to run, as indeed the Kach party was previously banned from running. But anyway, the reactions of the people listening out there would be very much of interest to me, because I think that these are controversial decisions, no matter which way they go.
Ian wants to know, it does seem that the court is left-wing. Anthony, your comment on that?
The court has often been accused of being left-wing, but I'm not sure about that, because certainly these particular decisions might indicate that on the one hand, the right-wing candidate has been banned, whereas the left-wing parties and candidates have been allowed to run. So I think that it's an easy interpretation, but I'm not sure that we can necessarily jump to that conclusion from these rulings that the court has handed down.
Yeah, interesting indeed. I'd love your thoughts on it. I am getting some messages that there's some problems with the streaming. We are going to try and attend to that. I do apologize if you are having a problem with streaming and with that it's become problematic. Anthony, we'll leave this other conversation to tomorrow. I have to tell you, when I read it, I thought it was a Purim spiel or an April Fool's type of joke, but it turns out that it actually is quite a real story, but we're going to talk about that tomorrow, same time, same place. It is 8 o'clock.